turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Really interested in seeing what God's going to do this morning. Angela asked me earlier, she said, how you feeling? I said, not so good. And she said, well, message must be going to be good. And I was like, is that how you gauge it? So we'll see this morning. My voice is doing all kinds of things. My head's doing all kinds of things. My thoughts are going in several different places. So just be in prayer for you, Pastor. Last week, as we continued our sermon series, Things That God Wants Us to Know, and we've been trying to figure out what there's a lot of things that God wants us to know, and church, to be quite honest, we just don't seem to be getting it, do we? But there's things that God so desires that He wants us to know, and we continued that sermon series last week, and we learned from Romans chapter 3 that God knows what we've done. God knows what each and every one of us have done. We learned that every man who has ever lived has sinned against a holy God. We've missed the mark, and we're in need of a Savior. We learned that God has and does reveal Himself through His Old Testament prophecy, through His creation, and through His one and only Son to each and every one of us every single day. That man is without excuse when he stands before Him. Well, we learn that God has done His part and given man a way out of the sin problem that we have found ourselves into all times. Man does not have to choose to sin, but when he does, all man has to do is confess that sin, and God is faithful, Scripture says, faithful and just, to forgive him of that sin, through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, today, as we continue in this series of things God wants us to know, we're going to learn that God, through His Son, and because of what His Son did on the cross, has given us something very precious. Well, Brother Kyle, I know it's salvation, but it's more than salvation. God, through His Son and what His Son did on the cross, God has given us an intercessor. And He wants us to know that. He wants us to know that intercessor is a gift from Him, but He wants us to know that intercessor is ever present with us, never leaves us, never forsakes us, never leaves us alone. Even when we turn our back on God and we leave God alone, that intercessor, His intercessor, is constantly on us, tracking us down, calling us to come back to Him. So let's look in Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 28. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says this, verse 28. Come to me. I could stop right there and preach two or three sermons. Come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now, Lord, asking you to still our hearts, still our minds. God, I pray that you would be with me. You gave me this message. This message isn't mine. It's not unique. Many men have preached from this passage of Scripture. I've heard men preach from it. Others have heard men preach from it, God, but this is your unique message. It's not mine. So, Lord, I pray that you would be with those who've come this morning. Every person who's under the sound of my voice evidently needed to hear this message because they're here. Those who've turned in to this message on the Internet, God, they needed to hear it as well. So I pray that you would be with them. Lord, help us to feel your presence as we already have through the song. Help us to feel your presence through the message. Help us, God, that we might be greater servants for you. You created us to serve you, and Lord, it's time that we start serving you the way you've served us. Lord, we love you. Be with us now. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Church, this morning I want you to understand that God wants you to know that you have an intercessor. You have an intercessor. Well, what does it mean to have an intercessor? I know what it means to have a boss. I know what it means to have a wife. Lord knows I know what it means to have children, Phyllis. I know what it means to have children. Janelle, that was funny. Yeah, I know what it means to, you know, have children. I know what it means to have bills. Nobody said amen, so y'all were right there with me as well. I know what it means to have a lot of things. But what exactly does it mean when I tell you that you have an intercessor? An intercessor is an intermediary, an arbitrator, a negotiator, a go-between, a mediator, a liaison, or an agent. Someone who acts as an intermediate agent is a in a transaction or helps to resolve differences. So an intermediary comes in and they see not one side, but both sides. Okay? We need these, don't we? I think, listen, there needs to be one of these intercessors in just about every church, doesn't there? Now, we hadn't had many reasons for having an intercessor in this church with problems. But listen, an intercessor comes in and he negotiates. He resolves issues. Now, Charisma Magazine gave 9 characteristics of a person who meets the qualities of being a great intercessor. Not a mediocre intercessor, Bob. Not you know, okay, well, he does the job, he gets the job done. No, listen, this is a great mediator or intercessor. This person gives the characteristics of dedication, reliability, integrity, objectivity, and empathy. They're kind, disciplined, and have great leadership ability and high moral standard. If you look through those, listen, church, there's only one person who can meet all those characteristic standards, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one. I don't care how many job applications you go through. I don't care how many resumes you look through. Listen, there is only one person who can and will be your intercessor, and that's Jesus. Just one. Just one. Now, an intercessor is a person who is asked or invited to come evaluate a disagreement or conflict and give a reasonable or correct solution to the problem. The intercessor is, in most cases, has nothing to gain from giving an unbiased thoughts on the matter at hand. The intercessor stands on the side, listen, that is right. Who does that sound like? Jesus. He stands on the side that is right, no matter which side it may be. It might be the pretty side. It might be the ugly side. It might be the fat side. It might be the skinny side. It might be the mean side instead of the sweet side. But the intercessor will always stand on the side, church, that is right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I talked about it the other night. Amy and I don't get in many arguments. But when we do, we get into some pretty, you know, we get into some arguments. She doesn't throw anything anymore. But somewhere along in the argument, you'll never say you're wrong. And I'll say, you'll never say you're wrong. Well, we're arguing. We both think we're right, right? And an arbitrator or a mediator or they'll come in and they will listen to both sides. And they will point at who is right and who is wrong. Amen? We need one of those. Don't we need one of those? We really do. Churches, we think about the word intercessor. I hope that you have realized that you not only have one intercessor, but you have two. That's a good deal. Listen, I didn't do anything to deserve my salvation. But when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I got all these gifts. And in this gift basket that I got for just accepting Christ as my personal Savior, I got not one intercessor, but I got two intercessors. It's a good deal. Listen, if you are a blood-bought child of the King, Jesus Christ is your intercessor. Listen, you don't have to pick up the phone and call this person. Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always." When a dispute or a conflict in your life takes place, you don't have to pick up the phone. You don't have to sit down and give all the sordid details, because if Jesus is your intercessor, He knows all the details better than you do. And he's right there. You don't have to call him. Listen, if you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, he has given you another intercessor. And his name, listen, his name, not its name. We make a grave mistake there many times as Christians, calling this intercessor an it. It's not an it is a he. His name is the Holy Spirit. So we have Jesus, the Son of God, on one side as our intercessor, and we have the Holy Spirit of God on the other side as our intercessor. Listen, how can we fail? How in the world can we fail? Well, we still do. I don't know how in the world we can get past God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, but at times we do, and I'm going to tell you how. Church, do you realize that terrible things are going to come our way as we walk this earth? Some people have the fallacy. Boy, I thought when I became a Christian, all things were going to be wonderful. I was going to tiptoe through the tulips. It was going to be a bed of roses. Nobody was going to bother me. I was going to have all the money in the world. I was going to have a new car, a new house. I was going to have a girlfriend. I was going to have a wife. I was going to have 2.5 children. Nobody. It was going to be wonderful when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And it has not met up to what I thought. Listen, that people like that, they leave the church and they never come back. God never promised you it was going to be easy. He promised you it was going to be worthwhile. Listen, terrible things are going to happen as you come walk on this earth. On our way home to heaven, things are going to happen that are going to be bad. But God has fully equipped, listen, God has fully equipped each of us not only to make it through this life, but to thrive in this life as we try to make it through. Church, Jesus has paved the road that we should be walking, and the Holy Spirit is our guide. And too often when we get ourselves off the road, we want to blame God, and it's not God's fault that we got off the road that he paved. And then we want to thumb our nose at the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, why did you let me do this? Holy Spirit didn't let you do this. He grabbed you kicking and screaming the whole way saying, don't do it. So we have two great intercessors, Jesus who has paved our way, and the Holy Spirit of God who guides our way. That's pretty good, isn't it? And we did nothing for it. It's like going to Dairy Queen and them giving you a free ice cream. Has that ever happened to you? James, has that ever happened to you, man? James has to pay for that ice cream every time we go. You don't even get a Christmas card from them, do you? They ought to give you one, brother, I'm going to tell you. Do you want me to prove that God does this and this actually happens? I'm going to anyway. Look at Romans chapter 8. We were there last week, but we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Listen to this. Listen to this. Unbelievable. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare his own son. You think that you're not going to suffer in this world? You're not going to go through disparity? God did not spare his son, and you think that you're going to make it through without any repercussions, no pain? Listen, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? Who? There's many who try. Aren't there? There's people who cast us down all day long. Satan is always pointing the finger at us. But Paul asks here, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Did y'all see that? I just proved it. Listen, he intercedes for us. Who can separate us then from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword, as it is written, because of you we are being put to death all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you have that. And it was free. It was given to each and every one of you. You paid nothing for it, but a high price was paid for you to have it. It really was. Now, you might be asking yourself right now where you're sitting, Brother Kyle, if this is true and I have an intercessor, I have two intercessors, why am I as a Christian, listen, why am I as a Christian in constant turmoil? Why does it seem as if I am always suffering? I feel like I am under constant attack from the enemy, and he never lets up on me, Brother Kyle. Why do I not have this peace, this comfort, this rest that Scripture talks about this morning? What in the world, Brother Kyle, am I doing wrong? That's a good question, isn't it? You have an intercessor? No. You have two. And then you have the Scripture that we read this morning in Matthew chapter 11 as a promise to those who have this intercessor. Why is it, Brother Kyle, that I feel like I'm always fighting this battle? Listen to me. Number one, if you feel like you're always fighting this battle, please understand this, and you've heard me say this 100 times before. If you're constantly fighting a battle, a spiritual battle against Satan, you're a worthy adversary. There is a reason he is always keeping you under attack. Because if he can keep you under attack, listen, he keeps you from doing what God wants you to do many times. Because we're so caught up with the attack that we forget that we need to be on the attack. Listen, God called us to be mighty conquerors. In the book of Acts, listen, they said that they were the apostles. Who are these men who shake the very foundations of the world? That's what we were created to be. We weren't created to be, listen, meek little small Christians who aren't able to do anything. God created each and every one of us to be powerful witnesses for Him. And church, I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, it blows my mind at how little it takes Satan to knock the feet out of some of us. And how often we're on the right path and we're doing what God wants us to do. And Satan, all Satan has to do is blow a small wind of adversity in your life and you're back to your hole of sniveling and saying, God, why me? Listen, why not you? Why not you? Why not you? Well, listen, I want you to understand. Jesus has a plan, and we read it in Matthew chapter 11 just a few minutes ago. look at verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Here's his plan. It's right here. Brother Jim, it's right here. Listen. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There's the plan. It's right there for us. The very first thing that Jesus says here is this. And listen, I want you to understand here. This isn't my plan. This isn't the Southern Baptist plan. This isn't the Methodist, the Pentecostal, the Church of God, the Catholic Church plan. This is Jesus' plan. And if Jesus' plan, hey, listen, it's going to work. The very first thing that we have to do to understand and get help from our intercessors is this. Number one, you ready? Jesus said, come to me. He said, come to me. Come to me. In all reality, Jesus is the one that we ought to seek after in every circumstance we face in our lives. Listen to me, church. First. When troubles come, when adversity comes, when financial difficulties arise, when death comes, when discouragement comes, when depression comes, Jesus is the one we as Christians should flee to and take refuge in. But more times than often, instead of running to Jesus with our problems, we run from Jesus. We do everything we can. We try anything we can to fix us when the King of the world is crying out to us to come to Him. Hey, church, step number one when problems arise is come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You know, he is constantly, just like the Old Testament. Old Testament says, what, if you hold your ear up to the Old Testament, what does the Old Testament say Wednesday night class? Return to me. Listen, Jesus is calling out to his children every single day. Come to me. Come to me. How many times, parents, have you seen your children in despair? You've seen them getting ready to do something they should not do. And you might pick up the phone, but it might be that you're out there and you see somebody running towards them or you see a dog running towards them and you holler out to your child or your children because you love them, not because you hate them. You lovingly holler to them, scream to them, come to me, come to me. Listen, this is what Jesus is telling us in this scripture. Come to me. I know what you're going through. I know. Listen. Don't look at me and shake your fist to heaven and say, "You don't. Why have you put this on me? I didn't allow it to happen to you because I didn't think you could handle it. I allowed it to happen because I know that it's going to strengthen you. But you've got to come to me first. The only way you're going to make it through this life is to come to me." We miss that somehow, church. You cannot do it on your own. Listen, you can't make it in this world by yourself. You can't. Some of you have tried long enough and you've tried too long. Quit trying. You can't make it. You're not going to make it. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Then he says this. Who is to come to him? Our scripture told us today, all who are weary and burdened. Do you know what that means? More than one person at a time can come to him. He can handle each and every problem at one time. Brother Kyle, how does Jesus do this? How can he fix all of our problems at one time? Aren't we just overburdening Jesus? Or aren't we putting too much on his plate? Listen, we're not talking about a psychologist, somebody who's got a degree on the wall in downtown Savannah. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can't overload his plate. You know, there's been times where people have come to me and said, "Brother Kyle, I need some help in this aspect." And I've tried to call the association and I've, you know, tried to put them in contact with people who can help them. I know my limitations. And some of you people have some severe mental disabilities. And I'll help you as much as I can. But when I reach that limitation, I'm going to refer you to somebody else. Right, Courtney? No, I'm just kidding. I know my limitations. There have been times where I've called. Look, her brother's laughing. You too, son. Andy, you too. There's been times where I've called these clinics and told them the problems, and this is what they've said. We can't help you. We can refer you to somebody else. We can help you. Have any of y'all ever got a phone call like that? Have you ever had a phone call like that? And then, listen, and this hadn't been too long ago that this happened. So I called the other person, and I went through the whole spiel again. Took 5 or 10 minutes, Dan, and you know what they told me at the end of my spiel? We can't help you, but we can give you a number of somebody who can help you. There was one day, Deborah can attest. Where's Deborah? Children's Church. She can attest. I spent over 6 hours in my office trying to resolve a situation that was here in the church, and I never got the end of the resolution. All I did was make an endless cycle of, we'll send you to somebody who can help you. Listen, what are you saying, Brother Kyle? When you come to Jesus, your intercessor, the Holy Spirit, your intercessor, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. You're not going to. Listen, son. I didn't know. Listen, I had no idea your issues were that deep, and I can't help you. There's nothing I can help you with right there. No, Jesus says, listen, I'm here for you. Come to me. I can help you. As a matter of fact, I'm the only one who can help you. I'm glad you came to me. But it gets better. Jesus said then, he says this, when you come to me, Jesus gives us this promise. He says, I will. Will. Emphatically. I will give you rest. Now, I don't know if that excites you or not, but it does me because Nikki, where's Nikki? Hey, Nikki. Not Nikki. Not you, Vicky. I didn't say Vicky. I said Nikki. Pay attention. Where's Nikki? I saw Nikki. Hey, Nikki. Nikki is like me and like Gary Page. We are hopeless and incurable insomniacs. Well, what that means is at night, I cannot shut my brain down to go to sleep. Church, we all need rest. Our bodies, to truly be healthy, need a certain amount of rest. Now, can I tell you that when you are weary and burdened, that nothing can give you rest like my Jesus? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No sleep on this earth can give you the rest that Jesus can and will when you come to Him. When you sit at His feet and say to the Lord, please take this from me. And when He does take your burden, the rest is unmatched in comparison. Church, there's things that have happened to me in the past, oh golly, I mean, in my lifetime, I couldn't handle. There's things that have happened to me in the past 2 years that I couldn't handle. I tried to handle them, Sharon. I tried to handle them. You know, especially men, we have this complex where you're just going to have to tough it up. And you know, there are things that you need to toughen up on. I mean, there's enough sissy men in this world, but you need to listen. But there's things that we need to admit I can't do. Lord, listen, I can't do this. He likes to hear you say that. But you can. I'm giving this back to you. Now, Lord, if you want me to do it, I need your strength. You're going to have to show me. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to walk with me. And Jesus, you know, if we could hear Him, this is what He's saying. That's what I wanted to do all the time. Well, why is it taking you so long to see this? It's almost as if Christians aren't reading their Bibles, isn't it? It really is. Listen, look at verse 29. Look at verse 29. He says, all of you take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me tell you what happens when you come to Jesus. You take off the yoke and of bondage and burdens that you are carrying, and you put on His yoke. Now, some of y'all don't even have a clue what in the world is a yoke. You have to picture two oxen pulling a cart or pulling a plow. And this yoke is tied around both ox necks to pull a straight line. That they have to be working side by side together. And this yoke is a wooden piece that goes clearly across both ox necks. And He says, listen, take that yoke off. He wants you to take your yoke off. This scripture tells us that we are to learn from Him, His ways, not ours. And when this happens, we will understand that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. John Phillips says this about verse 30. The appeal from verse 28 and 29 lead us to the assurance in verse 30. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord will never tax us beyond our strength, never impose a tax beyond our ability He gives. He is on the other side of the yoke, and He carries all its weight. The Lord is the kindest, most considerate master in the world. He says, come, take, learn, find. All of this is true. Then why so much despair? Why so much depression? Why so much disparity? Why are people in such constant turmoil? Why is there so much anxiety? And listen, I just described the church. I didn't describe the outside world. People are just so upset. Why? Because you won't come to Him. All we have to do is come to Him. That's all He wants us to do. Can I tell you why so many Christians are in trouble they're in today? Why so many are depressed and covered with contempt and confusion? Because they will not simply start the process with the first step and come to Jesus. Will you come to Jesus today? Listen, He is your great intercessor, and He so desires to give you rest if only you'll come to Him right now. Brother Kyle, I think I'll wait. No, you've waited long enough. This life is fleeting. Scripture says it's a vapor. It's here and it's gone. We've got work to do. You know, Amy and I have talked the past 2 years. I have had probably more diversions in my life to keep me from doing what God has wanted me to do than I've had in the 15 years of ministry I've had. Why do you think there have been so many diversions? Because Satan wants to keep me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing. What is it that God wants you to do? Listen, some of you need to just get up off the pew. What is it that God wants you to do? Well, God doesn't want me to do anything, then. You don't belong to Him. You don't belong to the same God I belong to. He didn't save you to keep you still from doing nothing. He called you to be doing something. What is it that God wants you to do? What is it that Satan is trying to keep you from doing? The only way you're ever going to find that out is to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to me. He's calling that out this morning, church. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love You, and we thank You for this day, and we thank You for this word. We thank You for Your message, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that You will call Your children to Yourself this morning during this invitation. It's time that we come back to You. Let us hear Your voice this morning calling out to us as this music plays during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? This altar's open. If you want to come down to this altar and pray and seek God's face and return to Him, this altar's open. Will you come?